Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Jules Fancast. We're back again with another episode of the Jules Fancast Meets. We've had a lot of people on recently, the likes of Mark Bentley, Chris Dixon, Chris Whelpdale. We've got Stuart Nelson to come in the very near future. But today, I'm very happy to say that I am joined by someone who is very much renowned for his time at Jules and a very successful career elsewhere. He's had a lot of time as a champion, really, to league titles, two wins via the playoffs, and he is someone who really knows how to get the job done, shall we say. And I am joined by Mr. Adam Barrett. Adam, how are you today?
Yeah, very well. Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thank you.
It's quite the introduction, that, isn't it? Four promotions, two league titles. I mean, it's one of the people we've had on here for our whole series so far, and you're probably the one who has the most accolades in that sense. I suppose it's a good opportunity to look back on what has been a very successful career for you.
Yeah, definitely. You spoke about the promotions there, and thankfully I've been lucky enough to experience the playoffs, experience league titles. I was extremely proud of the length of my career first and foremost, and then to have the bits of success along the way. It's nice to look back on now, definitely.
So we'll start with the way the world is at the minute. It's quite an influential thing for you, of course, now being a first-team coach at Millwall. And that obviously is the effects of coronavirus, which has brought a halt to the EFL season in the Premier League. And it's come at a selfish point of view in your eyes, given what we were doing at the minute with Millwall, quite a really bad time, because very much so, Millwall very much on the up in the Championship at the minute, doing very well, looking to get that playoff push secured. I remember I watched a game, I think it's a couple of weeks back on Sky, where you went to Nottingham Forest and basically blew them out of the water, really. I think Matt Smith picked up a hat-trick that day, a bit lucky with a second goal, I think I'd say, with that little deflection. Yep. But I suppose the striker's instinct, you want to take it, don't you? So how has that affected what you're doing at Millwall, and how are the team keeping themselves going at the minute?
I think first and foremost, obviously, this is, no one's ever come across this and it's unprecedented. So first, the most important thing, people are safe and well. Football almost takes, it takes a backward step, it's not as important as life and death. And so the main thing is, we get through this as a nation, and that, and everyone comes out as safe and well as possible, because lives are being lost. From the football point of view, yes, it was obviously it's disappointing for everyone for this to happen, but we were on a really good little run of form. We were starting to get right back into the title chase, the playoff chase. We thought we sort of were falling away a little bit, but other teams were stuttering at the top, and we picked up a few important results, and with 2 points off, I really felt, if the season hadn't finished at the time, you looked at us, and I really would have fancied us to have a real good go at getting in the playoffs. It's obviously frustrating on a football point of view, because it just stops that momentum now, and obviously it's difficult because we don't know when we're going to be back, so the preparation's been quite tough. At the moment we're keeping on top of the players' fitness. We're doing video fitness sessions, which we had one this morning, in groups. We've got Strava, so we're calculating what they do. We're putting their running and all their physical outputs on, so we know exactly what they're doing throughout the week. But it's at the moment we can't really plan for. It's not like in 3 weeks' time you're back in training, in another 3 weeks then the season starts again. So from a staff point of view, we're having lots of meetings on Zoom and interaction. We're looking through players, recruitment. So there's still lots of stuff can be done, but the main thing is it's difficult because we just don't know what to prepare for at the moment, and we don't know when we're going to be back. So do you give the lads a bit of a break now on their bodies, because when they come back it's going to be full on, or do you keep them ticking out? There's so many different permutations from it and different ways of going about it, but it's difficult, it's challenging, something which never had before and hopefully never have again. But like I said, hopefully the main thing is everyone's safe and well, and I'm sure we get through this and get back to football and supports and get back to watching the game and the teams they love.
Yeah, of course. I think it is. It's a difficult situation because when you think about where you are and the momentum you seem to have at the time, I suppose this is a bit of a something that can go along with basically every club in the EFL and the Premier League. But when you're on a good run of form and you have something like this that disrupts it, how difficult is it to sort of regain that form when you don't know when you're going to come back? And does it make your job as coaches that bit more difficult?
I think it makes our job harder in the preparing and the planning. Like I said, it's not like the off-season when, you know, they've got 5 weeks off, they come back in, you've got your pre-season all planned, 5.5, 6 week pre-season schedule, so you know what markers they've got to hit each week and where they've got to be to the start of the season. Whereas this has just come at a time when, like I said, we don't know how long we're going to be off. So how much work you put into the guys, how much time are you going to have when you come back before the first ball's kicked, because I can't, you know, time, weeks are churning by. Can we afford, we're not going to go back and have a 5-6 week pre-season? I can't see that. I think it's going to be a couple of weeks and you're back into the games, because we've got to fit the games in before we can get the next season going. So there's so many different variables and it makes it really difficult to plan, and that's the hard thing from the coach's point of view, and even for the players, because like I said, that normally you get to the end of the season and you just want, you know, 3-4 weeks of just let your body recover. It's a long, hard slog. Whereas at the moment, we can't do that. So we're ticking our lads over, trying not to do too much, trying not to do too little. But it's all a little bit of, you know, we're trying to plan it as best as possible. But at the moment, we just don't know. So it does make it difficult. I think some clubs who had lost momentum, the break might do them good. For us, and we're very much a momentum sort of football club, when we get things going and the Den's a really tough place to come and play, when the momentum's with us, we're, you know, it's a difficult place, so it hasn't helped us, I wouldn't have thought, but we've just got to make sure we're as prepared as possible when we do come back to try and hit the ground running again.
Yeah, of course, and we obviously hope everyone who may be suffering with it, and obviously the mental health side of it, people who can't see their families and partners and whatnot, we all hope this does go away eventually. I'm not going to pretend I'm, you know, well versed in it. I don't know any sort of idea of when it may or may not finish. I'm just, you know, as anyone is at the minute, just hoping it ties over soon. Now, we'll move on to your actual career. Slightly more entertaining than happy memories than what we're talking about now. You started at Leyton Orient back in 98 to 99, but didn't actually make an appearance there. And then your actual first time getting into proper performances was spells at Plymouth, Mansfield and Bristol Rovers, and that was between 1999 and 2004, where you made around about 172 appearances for all clubs combined. Was the first spell at Plymouth where you made 52 appearances after not managing to get one at Leyton Orient? Is that when you sort of felt your career was getting to where you wanted it to be? And did you look back at that time at Leyton Orient as where you couldn't see why it didn't kickstart there?
Yeah, there was going back, there was lots of things at the time. You know, I was captain of the youth team at Orient and captain of the reserves, and they actually offered me a professional contract, but I wasn't happy with it at the time. And I had an agent who picked me up, and he got me the opportunity down at Plymouth. So I was a little bit disappointed with the Orient thing, because I'd had a really good 2 years there as an apprentice, and things had gone well, and I just expected a little bit more than what Orient were looking at, and they were looking to send you abroad for 6 months for experience before you come back. And the lads who were the year above me, who went the year before, it didn't really work out, so I didn't want to go down the same route as what happened to them. So the Plymouth opportunity come up, and it was I loved it down there, really, really enjoyed it. You know, a great club, big club with a good support. And my first year there was, you know, went really well. Picked up Young Player of the Year, and you know, played virtually every game, and it was fantastic. And I really felt then I was starting to this, you know, the belief comes, the confidence comes. It was the first time I lived away from home properly, and it's a long way as well. But it was, you know, I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed my spell at Plymouth. And it was only the following season, Kevin Hodges, who took me down there, he got the sack early on to the new season. Paul Sturrock came in, and I'd actually been sent off the game just before Paul came in. So I was suspended for 3 games. And I just, probably looking back now, I went into the office, you know, I played every game the season before and kept Mickey Heathcote, the club captain, out of the team, and things had gone well. But Paul had come down from Scotland and he was like, look, I need to get to see everyone. And then I was probably a little bit hot-headed in that. I just thought, you know, I played every game. I felt I want to play. I had a taste of it. I was hungry. I didn't want to then sit back. And he was like, well, look, you've suspended for the next 3 anyway. So it was a bit of a, probably looking back now, I should have not been so hasty to push a move. But I did. Mansfield were interested. And Paul was like, well, look, I don't know too much about you, but I'm not going to stand in your way. If you want to go, then I'll let you go. So Mansfield come in, and that's how the move happened to there. But looking back now, I probably should have, you know, probably should have just given that a little bit more time and settling. But Paul was brilliant with us, you know, and the club were good. But like I said, I really enjoyed my time down at Plymouth.
I suppose, as you say there, when you couldn't quite make it at Orient, when you're just coming into the game, it is important to sort of get that bit of stability with your first proper move and make sure you can find somewhere to settle down. It does sound like you managed that at Plymouth, but we'll move on to probably the highlight of your career, shall we say. Obviously, you're born in Dagenham, I believe.
Well, I was born in, it says Dagenham, I don't know why, so I was actually born in Romford. So it's Rush Green in Romford.
We'll say Essex.
Okay, yeah, it was Essex. So, but then we moved down. My family's all from the east end of London, and then my mum and dad. So we moved down to Southend when I was young. So I was brought up in Southend. That's where, you know, I classed my family home, and that's where I went to school and grew up, really.
Yeah, you made 249 appearances there between 2004-2010. Surprised me, 27 goals. That ain't bad going for a defender.
Yeah, it was a real prolific. They're just saying about Southend. I was at Bristol Rovers the 2 years previously, and I was captain there for 2 years. I was only captain at 22, and they'd offered me a new deal. And Southend just come totally out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. They offered me less money. My wife was very settled and happy in Bristol, and we had a nice group of friends and where we lived. But as soon as Southend come in, that was it for me. It was a club that I grew up watching. I was keen to get back home to the family. I'd been away, you know, at Plymouth and Mansfield and Bristol, so it was one of them. I really wanted to get back home, and me and the wife wanted to start a family. But it was, you know, it was quite tough to, and she supported me, but it was difficult for her as well. She was really happy in her job, things were going well. But she just knew my desire to go back and play for the club, so to go back there was just a dream come true for us, really. You know, to play for the club that you supported and followed, and your local team. I couldn't wait to get back.
I think it's fair to say the move worked out, to say it, to underestimate it a bit. Back to back promotions, yeah, from League Two to the Championship. I was speaking to Mark Bentley, your former teammate, yesterday. Yeah. And we actually brought you up in that interview, and he said, because I spoke about how I know you from your time at Gillingham, and he said, basically, yeah, echoed what I said about how you were with us. He said, it was like exactly the same as you were at Southend. You're a proper defender, proper no-nonsense. I described you as someone who, like, if there's any, yeah, danger, just hoof the ball up into the stands, no matter what the cost. And that really must have come to fruition. To gain back-to-back promotions from League Two to Championship is by no means easy going whatsoever. And, you know, you look at that team, you obviously had Bentley in there as well, yourself, Freddie Eastwood, I think, yeah, was there at the time, and he was in the peak of his career, arguably. And so what was it about that Southend side that made it so impressive that it was able to do the impossible in some sense and gain those back-to-back promotions?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the management team put together a group of players at a good age in their careers. We was all hungry, and we was all looking to move up the football ladder. It was all, you know, a real desire and a work rate there. Training was enjoyable. It was a good place to be at the time. And like I said, we just had a fantastic team spirit, and we had a bit of quality in there as well. But I think probably we hit everyone at really good ages through the spine of the team. We was all, you know, I was only early 20s, 24 when I went there, and all your best years were ahead of you. And we just all seemed to grow together and improve together. And when you get on a roll, the place was buzzing. Roots Hall was such a difficult place to come. You know, it was big crowds every week down there. And the place was just, like I said, it was a real buzz about it. And there was a connection between the players and the supporters. There was a lot of local lads or localish lads, you know, in Essex, connected with the football club. And the manager, obviously, was a South End legend as a player. And it was just a, you know, it was just a great time. And I just thought everyone stuck together. We all, you know, worked our socks off for one another. It was a small squad, a real tight bond that we had. And there was a belief there. There was a belief and a great work ethic day in, day out to go in and improve. And yeah, it was a special time and a special time to be involved in and for myself to go back to my club, which I felt a little bit of pressure because all my friends and family are from the area and everyone you went to school with. And so it's almost like you're going back there and expectations are on you to perform. And thankfully, you know, it just felt right for me. I went back, I felt really happy playing there. I loved playing at Roots Hall and I felt very content. And it was, you know, it was one of the most successful periods of my career and one of the most enjoyable as well to do it at the club that you love.
Yeah, of course, you did go back to Southend later on in your career, which we'll get to in due course. But obviously, in this initial spell, your first promotion was via the playoffs, and the year after was obviously you finished top of League One. What's the difference in mentality in that sense between sort of when you accept that you're going to have to, if you're going to do it, you have to go through the drama of the playoffs and the unpredictability of it, and then the other side of it, you think we could well win the league here? Is it sort of more of a struggle mentally to get through the playoffs than it is to go and actually win the league yourself?
Yeah, I think the playoffs that year was quite difficult because we were on a fantastic run. I think we were 17 unbeaten. And then we had the LDV final in Cardiff against Wrexham in March. So we went into that and we were flying in the league. We was expected really to go up automatically. I think all the players, I think everyone in the league, we were the form team. We were the team that everyone was looking at. And there was, like I said, the belief was there. And we went to the LDV fans final and got beat. And it just derailed us. I think we didn't win a game. I think there was another five league games after. And I think we only had to win one or two and we would have been automatic promotion. And we went to Grimsby last game and drew. And then we dropped into the playoff spot. So it was a real come down from where we were. And it was like the LDV final had just derailed us. So we really had to dig deep. Northampton we had in the playoff semi-finals and they was a team that were the form team going into the playoff groups and we were the team in the worst run of form over the last five, six games. So we had to dig in and I knew if we come through that semi-final we'd go and win it. And we had two tough games in Northampton but managed to get through to the final. So that I think we were really proud of that year because we had to drag ourselves, we had to dig deep and find something to, by hook or by crook, get us over the line because we was in such a good position going into the LDV Vans final and we blew it really. So we was very disappointed with that. So you got the disappointment and thinking, God, I can't blow this, you know, the season's hard work. So that was fantastic achievement and it felt like a real slog. To get over the line, whereas the following year we just seemed to carry the momentum forward. You know, we got on a great run again, started to climb the league, and I think because we were chasing it all the time, we weren't expected to win the league that year. I think we were one of the favourites to go down our first season back up in League One, so there was no expectation on us, and we just seemed to we got on a run. Like I said, the belief was there, the desire, and we all sort of felt, you know, first of all, we can go and get promotion here, you know, and there's a big character going to get in the championship. And like I said, we was all at good ages in our career. The club was on the up. So we were just sort of riding the crest of the wave. It was so enjoyable. You know, a great time to be there, be at the club.
Would you say that given the season before when you were in the playoffs and you thought yourself that you should have got automatics, didn't quite make it, is that sort of the motivation you needed for going into the second season when you were getting closer and closer? So, although we did make it through the last season, not the way we would have wanted to, essentially, but this season now, we'll take lessons from what we learnt last time, that this season we know we will get it done, we won't end up in the same situation again.
I think if we were still in League Two, that would have been the case. But I think because in League One, we weren't, the expectation wasn't there. So we were still chasing. Because if we would have finished up in the playoffs in League One,
still a good season.
Following season, I would have been delighted. So it wasn't a case of, it was different expectation. So no, it didn't feel that way. It wasn't so much we don't want to be in the playoffs, because we were chasing to be in the playoffs. And then when we were getting closer and closer, we didn't even think of the year before. It was just, like I said, there was just that belief and that desire, come on, we can do this. It was just game by game towards the end of the season. And then when we were getting closer, you know, we actually felt it. I felt we were going to go and win that league. And coming towards the end of it, there was no ifs or buts. It was like, we're not only going up, we're going to go and finish this as champions. And I think that was right through the squad. So it was two different sort of promotions and different reasons, expectations. Southend in League Two is a biggish club. Coming into League One, where the expectations were quite small on us, and people were just happy for us, I think, just to establish ourselves the first year. But we just hit the ground running, and Gaffer brought in a couple of good additions, like Sean Goethe come in and really helped Freddie and Wayne Gray up front, and we just had a really good group. And but it was slightly different, and probably the league title in League One was felt, you know, so satisfying, because that was 2 years. That wasn't just a year. That was 2 years of real hard work, two seasons of, you know, putting your bodies on the line and really grafting to get to that pinnacle. And all the work that we'd done previously was really starting to come to fruition towards the end of that League One campaign.
Yeah, especially considering you look at the other teams who are in that League One division, and you think that you see specific teams that you would expect to be fighting for the playoffs, and you imagine a lot of them probably wouldn't have been able to achieve what you achieved the following season and then on as well. So it does show the core and desire of that team. And you did move on from Southend to Crystal Palace between 2010 and 2011, but only made seven appearances. And interestingly, you did actually make the loan move back to where it all started, Leyton Orient, where you made 14 appearances. But when that opportunity came about, did you feel like it was, although because it didn't work out initially at Orient, was it something that you felt you wanted to go back and improve on, obviously, what happened before?
It was a strange one. I wasn't expecting to leave Southend. I had 2 years left on my contract, but unfortunately the club was in financial trouble, and it had just plundered within a year, so we had to go. I never thought I'd leave the club, but, you know, had to go. Palace, I thought I was going to Charlton. I thought that deal was nearly done, and then the Crystal Palace move come out of the blue. It was just a frustrating time for me at Palace. It never really quite got going. I picked up an injury just after pre-season. Then I got in the team, started to establish myself, played five or six games. And then I got my nose broke and got concussed at Middlesbrough. And it just felt stop, start, stop, start. And it come to March time, and I needed to get out and play. You know, all my career, I played 500 games at that point, and I was used to playing week in, week out. I didn't want to just... And it just felt I needed to go out and get some match games in. And I had a choice of Huddersfield and Leyton Orient. And Orient, obviously, my connection there is I was there as a schoolboy and an apprentice, and the location for me as well, my family. And to work with Kevin Nugent, who I'd known, and Russell Slade was the manager. So it just felt, you know, it felt right. It was on my doorstep. It was in London still. Palace were my club that I was at. So it just felt, like I said, I had previous there and got a connection with a football club. So I was delighted to go there and play the 14 games, I think it was, at the end of the season. And we just missed out on the playoffs as well. So I enjoyed my few months there, definitely.
So then moved on to AFC Bournemouth in between 2011 and 2012, made 21 appearances that season. That was sort of a time where Bournemouth were gradually further and further getting to the status they're at now, I suppose. They're building and building. Obviously, it wasn't something that happened overnight, and they are now in the Premier League, of course. And I think that season you did play us in the FA Cup. I think it went to a replay, if I believe. We won the replay 3-2, I think, that night. That was obviously a very exciting game for us. I think I went to the original game, which I think was a 3-3 down at Dean Court, or as it was as it was used to be known as Dean Court Vitality now, of course. Talk me through that year at Bournemouth before you did go on to join us.
Yeah, I had another year left at Palace, and I had a bit of interest that summer. Notts County, where Martin Allen was manager, and Lee Bradbury at Bournemouth, who I played with at Southend. And or another year at Palace, and Dougie had just taken over him. I played with Dougie Freeman at Southend, and he was keen for me to stay. But I don't know why. I'm looking back now, I probably should have stayed. But it was one of them. It just felt I needed to have a change. I needed a fresh start. Bournemouth put a bid in for us, which had been accepted, and I went down to meet with Bournemouth, and it, at the time, it just felt, it felt right. It felt a fresh challenge. Brilliant. The club was on the up. It was really looking to move forward. I was going down there as captain, and to be honest, for the first half of the season, personally, it was going really well. Started the season really strongly, enjoying my football. It was just a difficult period because I just turned 31, I think, at the time, and the only hard thing was my family was still in Essex, two young children, my wife, and I thought the travelling backwards and forwards a couple of times a week was going to be easier than what it was. I am a family man, and I found that harder than what I thought. And then my mum had been taken ill, and she lived in Southend, and that was terminal. So it was a tough period for me, for being away from home, and I was enjoying it on the football side, and then unfortunately I tore my hamstring just before Christmas, and I think it was because of the driving that I was doing, backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. It was too much, too many times throughout the week. It was hurting my back. And I tore my hamstring, and then I was injured for the rest of that season. It was a bad tear on my hamstring and put me out. So I think I just went to Bournemouth at the wrong stage. I was 31, and it was just at the wrong stage of my career to go down there and with my family situation the way it was, and I had to get back home. You know, it was quite tough, and it was tougher when you were injured, obviously, because then you don't feel as part of it. You're not in and amongst the lads as much as you want to be, and you can't lead how you wanted to lead. So it was a sort of tale of two. I really enjoyed the first few months there, and everything was going great. And then it just seemed there was a lot of things happening off the pitch as well, which, that was one of the reasons then why the Gillingham thing sort of came up, and I just needed to get back closer to home.
So would you say your period between leaving Southend and obviously joining Gillingham was sort of like a bit of a topsy-turvy time in your career, where you couldn't really settle somewhat in a particular team? Obviously with Palace, it didn't quite work out. You had to move out on loan. And as you just said there, the Bournemouth move, maybe, as it turned out, wasn't perhaps the correct move at your time in your career. So that sort of period between 2010 and 2013 was a bit of one of the more difficult times in your career.
Yeah, definitely. It was a frustrating one. I think probably what was so hard looking back now is I was so settled and so happy at Southend, and things were going so well for the first 5 years. It was, the club was on the up. Personally, I was playing well. Everything was going how I dreamt it, and I never thought I'd be leaving Southend. I thought, I'm going to be there for the rest of my career and stay there. And I think, from being so settled to then going to different places, like I said, I just couldn't quite find that balance of the family life as well as the professional side of it. And it was just, look, these things happen. I'm very lucky, but definitely that couple of years was a frustrating couple of years. The Palace one, I look back now, and that probably frustrates me more, because it was a little bit stop-start the first year, and looking back, I should have stayed for the second year, because I really believed that I could have got in there and established myself. So that was a frustrating thing. But you make decisions that you feel right at the time, and unfortunately, them ones, looking back now, probably got them a couple of the decisions wrong within that period.
But of course, in 2012, you're... career did come back to the glory days, as it were, when Martin Allen, yeah, as you previously said there, brought you to Gillingham after he attempted to get you when he was at Notts County. He made 88 appearances for us, scoring 3 goals and led us as club captain to our first title in 50 years. And I want to quickly start on, now you mentioned it there, yeah, you obviously didn't join Martin Allen when he was at Notts County, but was the prospect of working with him at the time something that excited you and ultimately aided your decision in the end to come and join us when he was there?
Yeah, I played against Martin's team for years, and then I found out that I had another year left at Bournemouth, but I spoke with the manager there, and he knew I personal situation and my mum's health, and he knew it was important for me to get back, and we was up front with each other, and the club were very good, and Gillingham showed the interest. And like I said, I've heard many stories about Martin and played against his teams, and they was always tough, always hard to beat, and you knew what to expect. And yeah, of course, it was something. Always Gillingham, every time I'd always played against them, it was always a difficult place to go. I've always liked the club as well. It's one of them clubs you enjoyed going, because you knew it was going to be difficult. And then Martin come in, and yeah, as soon as I met him, you know, we seemed to, you know, I liked what he said. I liked the vision. I liked what he was going to try and do at Gillingham that year, and I was delighted to come in and be a part of it. As soon as I knew there was interest there, it was right. I want to go and play for Jules and play for Martin, and there was a good group of lads there as well. There were some boys that I knew, and to come in and be a part of that was fantastic. So yeah, as soon as I was interested, that's where I wanted to go and play my football.
Yeah, we saw Martin as one of the managers through my time, especially that he had the instant connection with from fans to managers, sort of one of them that,
yeah,
you know, like when it's time to be serious with the team, he's serious. But other times we sort of saw him as one of our own, because at the end of the day, yeah, he wasn't just a manager, he was a fan, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he gave his all for the club. I always remember him turning up to games in those bright red trousers with the Santa Claus, yeah, Santa Claus trousers they were. And yeah, he just seemed to be someone who enjoyed the connection between fans. I remember he used to ask fans to come in for open training sessions at times, and there was, yep, that real connection there. Did he seem like, in terms of man management with players, where does he rank about other managers you worked with in your career?
I've got a lot of respect for Martin, and I thought he was magnificent for me. And when I spoke about that couple of years where I didn't really get settled, didn't really feel 100% comfortable, as soon as I walked through the door at Gillingham, I felt that comfort there. I felt that this is a place where I'm happy. I felt settled. And Martin was fantastic for team spirit. He, you know, we had a really, really good group in there, some big characters as well. And Martin just pulled all that together. The team spirit within, you know, I was only there a couple of years, but that bond that the lads had, we all still talk now on a group chat. The management are in that, Schofield and Gaffer and Carl Muggleton as well. So, you know, it was a real tight-knit group for such a short period of time, and it just clicked, and Martin was a big, big part of that, and he brought that together with John Schofield. They were excellent at the team spirit stuff. And like I said, there was that connection, the connection with the supporters again, and it was the first time I'd sort of felt that since I was at Southend. There was a connection between the players and the supporters on the terraces. And I think it showed, because the longer the season went on, you know, it was nice to see Priestfield, you know, full again. You know, big crowds flocking in and great atmospheres. And there was a buzz about the place. And we all felt that, you know, we could achieve something that year. So it was, but Martin was, you know, he was instrumental in pulling that together.
Yeah, of course, throughout your career, you've been captains of some great teams during your time. And Martin Allen, obviously, when he came in, made you captain essentially, basically, straight away, really. So obviously, yeah, he had that faith in you, and he brought in a lot of different players from different sort of walks of life in the summer. He brought on some experienced heads in the likes of yourself, Stuart Nelson, obviously, came in. And at the same time, we had some other players who came in that were slightly less experienced in that sort of division. I remember Matt Fish, obviously, at right back, who had a phenomenal campaign. Obviously, the season after, ridiculously unfortunate with that injury that sort of put stop to his career, sadly. But we had a team that was from all different walks of life. I think of players like Dion Burton, who's obviously been all around the block, especially in the EFL, and he was someone that was really important to where we got to. And I think we had that fantastic mix of just experience and new upcoming talent, the likes of Bradley Dacre, we'll talk about a bit later. And I think Jack Payne was there at the time, and he just started to come through properly. And then obviously we had the back line, which is so solid throughout all the season, with yourself, Leon that came in. I think Tom Flanagan was there first half of the season, who's now at Sunderland, and obviously Fisher, as we mentioned there. I just want to know what the core of that team, from the back to the front, with all the mixture of experience and new talent, what was it, do you think, that made that click so well?
Well, I think Martin, he liked men in his team, in his teams that he'd had previously. So he built a spine there with strong characters. I mean, I played, you know, can't remember at the time, might have been not far off 600 games and had promotions and been a captain. So that's how we see, right, I need my defence. That's my spine there. You had people like Dion Burton, who had played with him before and been at a top level and had the quality. You had the likes of, he brought in like a Leon Legg, Stuart Nelson, who had worked with at Brentford. So strong characters. You had Charlie Leeds, Chris Welkdowes, who had had promotions at Peterborough. Up and coming lads like Bradley Dack, like you mentioned, Jack Payne, Danny Kedwell, who was had a really strong non-league career and then stepped up. Stepped up to league football. Andy Frampton, you know, Frampton's great character, great leader and a real team player as well. And it was just a real good balance, I think, when you look throughout. And it, again, you had a real desire in there. I mean, when I walked through the door my first day, I sort of looked and in my head, as I come to Gillingham to get promotion, that was it. You know, and that was the message from Martin from day one. That was a message from within the group from day one. We are looking to get promoted this year, and we're not just looking to get promoted, we're looking to go up as champions. That was the aim. And within the group and within the dressing room walls, that was that real, you know, there was a real determination to do that. And it was fantastic to come in and be a part of it, and fantastic to come in and lead that, because that's exactly how I felt. And the boys were great, you know, they everyone, again, you don't get anywhere without hard work. And every successful team I've been in, they've had that. And it's not just five or six, it's the squad. And the whole squad was together. Even the lads that come in on loan, like the Flanagans. You know, we had Callum, young Callum, coming in at centre-half, played a few games, done well. So it was a real good mix throughout the whole group. And it just clicked again. You know, sometimes you get these dressing rooms and everyone got on off the pitch, everyone got on the pitch. There were strong characters there to dig people out when it needed to be dug out. We all enjoyed training. We come in with a smile on our faces every day, which Martin and Scope and Muggleton, they made it a nice place to come into and work. And it just felt from top to bottom, everyone was on the same page. Everyone was aligned in what we were doing. And that filtered through to the supporters. And it was a tremendous campaign to be involved in.
Yeah, it was one of them seasons where I was going to home games and we were putting fours past teams. We put, yeah, I think, four past a couple of teams that season. We were getting wins even when we weren't playing well. We managed to find a way of getting it done. But let's move forward to the glory day, as it was the home game against AFC Wimbledon. I'd made a trip up the previous week, I think it was Cheltenham away. We could have won the title that day, I think, but we lost 1-0, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for that.
We didn't want to win the title at Cheltenham.
Yeah, that's what Danny Kedwell said. He said you lost it on purpose.
Yeah, well, he didn't lose it on purpose, but, you know, if you're going to write the script, you want to win the title at home. You know, I've done that at Southend against Bristol City to win the title at home at a packed house. There's no better way of doing it. And we were disappointed at the Cheltenham. Of course we were, because we could have wrapped it up that day. And to be honest, I think we should have wrapped up the season probably before that. But we had a little bit of a blip. Going to that home game, that was one that we was determined we was going to make sure that we picked the title up that day in front of our own fans, and thankfully that happened.
So talk me through that day, like from start to finish. You know, you come into the stadium and you have the initial team meeting, I suppose, before, you know, you go out and figure out the team sheet and go out to warm up. And so what was Martin's message before walking out to the pitch that day?
Yeah, it's a great buzz. When you're and supporters, when you turn up to a day like that, the sun was out and, you know, it's a hot day. You know, it's sold out. Everyone's excited. Everyone's happy. The expectation's there. So there's a bit of pressure to finish the job that really we probably should have done earlier. So the expectation, but as a player, it's exciting. You know you're already up, but you want to finish it off. You want to finish off and win the title. And Martin's message was, it was the same every week. You know, he just took game by game, but it was all that hard work that we'd done, all going back to pre-season when all the sweat, blood and tears that you've shared throughout the whole year. And it's a long season. They all are, you know, it's tough to come out on top at the end of it. And you had ups, you had downs, the laughs and, you know, arguments and all that along the way. It's all come down to this one game. And it was, you know, let's just go and finish the job off. Go and do what we deserve. We deserve to be champions that year. And it was like, now we've got to make sure we do it at home and we finish it off in front of our own fans that have packed the place out. And but we know it's tough because Wimbledon was still, I think they're still fighting for their survival all the time. So it's a difficult game. They brought a couple of thousand down. The away end was packed, and the atmosphere was great. So it was, but it was, we knew it was going to be tough because, like I said, they were fighting for their lives. But to go out there at home and actually finish the job and just grind it out, which is what we had to do, was an unbelievable feeling. And to lift the trophy at home, only the second time in the club's history to win a title, and to be captain and lead that group, a special group of players and a special group of staff. And, it was one of the best days in my career, and it was, another fantastic thing to be a part of.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tester one for emotions that day. I remember first half we were 2-0 up. I was thinking, happy days. It's going to be a great occasion. And we let one in. We're like, oh, it's fine. We're still losing. And then the second one goes and you're like, hold on a minute. But we managed to get through it. And obviously that point did help Wimbledon, which Danny Kedwell alluded to, obviously being a former Wimbledon player. So he was happy with that. He was sort of hoping it stayed at a draw as it did. I think the best thing that summed it up for me was I went to Burton Albion the last day, and we all knew it would be a second string team, so to speak. Obviously we just went because, you know, there's no pressure on us. It's just a day we can go out and celebrate what we've achieved for the season. I remember we had a lot of the first team players sat in the section to the left of the terrace, and all the songs we were singing to them, they were joining in. And to the credit, the young boys actually put on a decent performance that day. I think we lost 3-2, but it's all doesn't matter, does it? And that's defined the utility of that team, I think.
Yeah, it was a weird one because we went up to Burton and the gaffer pulled a few of us, and it's actually disappointing we didn't play, to be honest, because as a player you want to play. But he, you know, he rested us and just said, look, he's going to give the other lads a go. And we were sat in the stand and chanting with the supporters, which was a bit surreal. You know, it was nice to be there as almost like a supporter that day. The lads that we were sat there with, and it was a great occasion. But it was, you know, the job had been done at home, and that was the nice thing. You know, it was nice to finish the season off, and then it gave, like I said, a few of the young lads an opportunity to go and play and go and get a league game and get a bit of experience last game of the season. But tremendous effort from the lads. Like I said, I think we could have wrapped the season up earlier because we were steamrolling teams up until after Christmas, and then we hit a bit of a blip and we just come away from a little bit what we was doing. And I think I was a little bit frustrated that, you know, we let that happen. So it was nice to get the job done, and then, you know, we could relax and enjoy the summer. But it was a great season, you know, one that which I look back very, very fondly and got some great memories of.
Yeah, especially the way it turned out. I think there's nothing that beats, especially someone my age, obviously wasn't around during the first title win, to see my local team walking out to a guard of honour is something that you can't really think about in your head as to being true until you see it in real life. But as I mentioned, we did have some good young players in there. One specifically, Bradley Dacre, is obviously now at Blackburn, and he's playing his trade very well up there. And I think he'd got a really bad injury this season, which sort of hampered his season a bit because he was doing really well. When you look at him in training, and obviously that was the season he started to make first team appearances, I think he got his first goal for the club in professional anyway, away at Morecambe in a 1-1 draw, I believe. Did you see from just seeing him in training on the pitch that he was going to be as good as he's turned out to be?
The one good thing that Bradley had was he could nick a goal. You know, he could arrive late and he could nick a goal, and he's technically very good. He, at the time you look and you say, he's got the potential to go and have a very good career. And, you know, I'm delighted that he has as well. He's a top kid. He's a very talented player. And he's got that, you know, that magic which clubs are after, and he can find the back of the net. And we've come up against him. Millwall, we've played against him a few times at Blackburn, and he's a player you've got to watch out for, because he can get something out of nothing. Tight games that he can nick a goal from, and he's done exceptionally well there, and he done really well for Jules when he came in as well. And I'm delighted that he's gone on now and applying his trade in the Championship, and hopefully the injury, you know, we'll be back from that and back stronger, which I'm sure he will. You know, we've had messages backwards and forwards, so he'll be fine as long as he, you know, keeps his head on the ground and keeps working extremely hard at his game, then, you know, he's got a long and successful career ahead of him, hopefully.
Yeah, so we'll move on to the following season. We've seen it a lot of times through our previous Jules teams where we've won promotion and the next season we've managed to, you know, had good moments in the season, but ultimately sometimes we've gone down and sometimes we've just not performed to the level that we know we're capable of. And of course, Martin sadly did lose his job, I think it was in October or November of that season, following a 2-0 loss away at Shrewsbury. And the season sort of, I don't want to say petered out, but it didn't arguably hit the heights that you could expect. Like, you go back to your Southend days and you said how you carried on the momentum there and that allowed you to push as high as you did and ultimately achieve the wonderful achievement that you did. But it didn't quite happen at Jules that second season. Is there anything you can pin that down to?
I mean, first and foremost, it's really difficult. You know, what we've done at Southend is, you know, it doesn't happen every year. And it's quite hard because you have the highs of the season before and the, you know, everyone's on such a buzz and there's the expectation and then all of a sudden people think, oh, we're going to hit the ground running in League One. And, you know, it's difficult. You know, it's not as easy as that. You know, and, you know, some big clubs in the division. And I think the main thing is when you do go up, is you've got to make sure that you stabilise and you stay there. That's just first and foremost, you've got to make sure now you establish yourself in the league. And from within the group, that was the main aim. Make sure we stay in this division. It just didn't feel the same. You know, Martin, he was fantastic the year before and he had a real sort of power and a control about everything. And I don't know quite right, but things just didn't quite feel the same the second year. And like I said, we were, you know, we was in it, we was holding our own, but it was tough, you know, it was tough. And these happen, you know, you go through little spells and it's difficult. But we still had real belief behind the management team. We had belief in what we were doing. And we, you know, we were shocked to see Martin go. But just from a player, just something weren't quite right. I don't know what, and I don't know why it just didn't quite feel the same. But then it's not going to, because, you know, we weren't winning every week either. So it is slightly different in the level you've gone up. But in saying that, you know, the club, we made sure we stayed in the division and established yourself, and that sort of sets the foundation for the club to move forward again. And I think that's the important thing. You've got to make sure you go up, stabilise, and then you look to push on. And that's, you know, to be fair, Gillingham, you know, they've been up in that division now since we got that promotion. So, you know, we set the groundwork for that to continue. But, yeah, I was disappointed to see Martin go, because he brought me to the club and I've got a lot of respect and a lot of time for him, and it's never nice to see someone who you've tasted, you know, success with go and lose their job. And unfortunately that's football. But yeah, it's sad to see him go.
Yeah, I think we all considered it a bit harsh at the time, and I think if you go into a new division and you're not performing as well as you'd hope to, it's very easy to, as a chairman, or perhaps to focus on the here and now rather than what that particular person has achieved in the past. And I sort of thought of it as we weren't doing as well as we'd hoped, but you've got to think about how we got here in the first place and how impressive that season was. And that's why I ultimately thought it was a bit harsh on Martin in the end. And, you know, he was such a great character, as I said, the connection was there, and it was all a bit down when he was relieved of his duties. And I think the fans weren't particularly on side with Peter Taylor at times. And of course, he's been here so many times. I think he had another spell after that one ended, which was like a couple of years ago, I think now. And he's obviously been someone who's been in and around the club, whether it be manager or I think his chief executive or something like that at some point, or head scout. He's done a lot of stuff here. I think he's probably got his own nameplate somewhere. And for me, he's a character that I've personally, from my time going, I've not experienced too many good times under him. I obviously appreciate that he got us promoted back in 98, but that was the year I was born. So obviously, to me, that's a blip. I have no recollection of that whatsoever. So for me, my experiences with him haven't been too good or too impressive, in all honesty. But given you're in a very old time in your career, with all due respect, you're very mature at your career at that age, and you're working with someone who's achieved such things as promotions in the past. So what was your relationship like with him?
Well, Peter, I mean, I've known Peter, he lives in Southend, he's not far, so I've known him a long while, but never worked with him or, I got on great with Peter. There was no issue. I mean, he came in, and obviously I played the rest of that season, and No problems whatsoever. But like I said, I was, what, coming up 36, 35, whatever it was at the time. And I knew Pete was, you know, was always known for liking the younger players and bringing through the younger players. So we had a real honest conversation in my second season, and no problem whatsoever. I'd come to Gillingham and done what I wanted to do. My main aim was to make sure we get promotion and establish him in the league above. You know, all due respect, I was at a stage of my career, I wasn't going to be at Jules for 10 years because of the age I was at. And that's just, unfortunately, that's life. That's the way it goes. I was at a stage where my career was, you know, I didn't have too long left. And Jules, I'd come there as captain and thoroughly enjoyed my time. It was almost, I felt I'd done what I had to do and done what I wanted to do. And Peter wanted to look to go down a different route, a younger route, start bringing people forward, and that was great. I was fine with that. There was I was more than happy for that. And he was, you know, he said, "I'm delighted if you stay out and help the youngsters, but you're not going to play week in, week out." And I was, you know, I appreciated his honesty, but at the stage I was you haven't got long left, and I wanted to play football. So it was, and he said, "Look, if there's somewhere you want to go, or someone comes in for you and you want to go and play, then the club won't stand in your way." And the chairman was brilliant, all the board directors. There's so many people at the club I like and I get on really well with behind the scenes as well. And I just, for the 2 years, it was fantastic. And the manager wanted to go in a slightly different direction. And I was more than happy, not a problem. That's life, that's football. And then the opportunity come up to go and play some games, and that's why I took it, and the club was happy for me to do that. So, but Pete was very excellent with me, very respectful, and like I said, no problems at all. And that's just what it was. That unfortunately, that the story on Gillingham shut. But I'm extremely proud of them couple of years, and made me mark. And like I said, unfortunately, I wasn't 25, you know, I was 35, 36, so it's a different stage of your career, and you have to move on, and that's what it was. But the club were excellent in the way they handled it.
Yeah, I suppose as footballers, immensely, you feel that you can go on forever, but your legs might disagree at some point.
No, you can't, you know, I'm a realist, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't sit and kid myself, but I knew I still had a lot to offer. I knew I could still do a job, and you know, thankfully it proved that, because I went on and played another couple of years. But Jules at the time, they were looking to go in a different direction, and I was more than happy to. I felt that I'd left the club in a good place and moving forward.
Yeah, so before we move on to the final bit of the podcast and how your career ended, we're going to have to talk about it briefly, only briefly. I won't trouble with it too much, but you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yeah, I know where you're going. Go on.
So the ball drops virtually on the goal line. We're thinking, happy days. We're going 2-0 up or 3-0. I don't even know what the score was at that time. But
yeah.
And you somehow managed to put it over the bar by quite some distance. It's almost one of those where you're actually impressed that you managed to do that.
Yeah, it's good defending. I always say it's good defending that. Clear your lines.
Just your natural instinct was to clear it.
Yeah,
right?
Do you know what? People talk about it, and obviously I can laugh about it now. I didn't laugh about it at the time, but it was just that I can't even. Initially, I thought it was offside because everyone seemed to stop, and you could give me 100 footballs, and you know, you wouldn't do it again. I just took your eye off the ball. Just thought it was too easy. I don't know. But yeah, of course, it was probably the most embarrassing moment on a football pitch, and my phone, you know, everyone's got an opinion on it, and it's hard because if it's over the park with your mates, you have a laugh and you crack on. But when it's your job and something you care about and you're living, and the criticism that come my way via social media and God knows what, and luckily I'm not on it, but the amount of text messages that come my way, it weren't a nice week after that. And it was, it wasn't very enjoyable. Everywhere you went, someone had to say something, had a smart comment to make, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry's got something to say on it. So yeah, it was. But like I said, look back now, you can laugh on it. It's one of them things. Thankfully, we won the game. I think if we'd have lost the game, it would have been worse. But I can't even explain it, to be honest. It's just one of them incidents which I don't know. Obviously, just totally took you off the ball, thought it was too easy, and like I said, I'm just gonna I don't even know what to say on it.
Sure, if it was in that time at South Ham, he scored 27 goals, that would have been easy pickings for you, that one.
Yeah, I'd say old age, couldn't get my leg up that high, couldn't get me a knee over the ball.
We'll move on and just put it down to the natural instinct of a defender, just to rather out and in.
Yeah, it's not a problem. No, we put it down, it's a terrible miss, not an issue, don't worry.
Well, anyway, we'll move on to when you left Jules. I think we basically covered this from what you said before, but it seemed to be the right decision for you to move on because, as Peter Taylor was saying, that you weren't naturally, as your career was getting on a bit, you weren't particularly going to get the game time that you needed. You made a loan move to Wimbledon where you made 23 appearances, but the main thing for you, I think, in terms of your career was that it ended at Southend, where obviously local lad, and obviously you achieved the great success you did there. And you went to Southend between 2015 to 2017, made 59 appearances, captaining the side to promotion at Wembley. I think I'm right in saying that was against Wickham. I might be wrong. I think it was.
Yeah, we beat Wickham, Beat Wickham in the playoffs.
Obviously being a Southend man, would you consider that basically the perfect end to your career?
Yeah, it was a cherry on the cake. The Wimbledon, I thought I was going to Southend before I went Wimbledon, but that just sort of fell through. And then the Wimbledon opportunity to come back, and again went there and played games and loved it for the first half of the season. Really enjoyed it. Great club, good people. They were brilliant with myself. And then my loan ended there after the Liverpool game on telly. And they were trying to sort out something, but the Southend opportunity come up again, and there was only one. You know, I desperate to finish my career there. I felt I had unfinished business because of the way I had to leave the first time. So to go back and get another promotion at Wembley as well, which is at that stage of my career, I never played at Wembley. I'd been to Cardiff a couple of times when Wembley was being built, and I missed out on it. And I just, you know, the older you get, you're thinking, am I going to get that opportunity? You know, nearly 750 games, and I'm never going to play at Wembley. It was so to have that, to go there with, you know, my club, you know, the club I supported as a boy, and to walk out, it was brilliant, and I loved every moment. And the nice thing was, I was at a stage in my career where I could really enjoy it. You know, I was only carrying on playing because I wanted to. I could have retired, but I didn't want to. I wanted to carry on playing. So to be there at Wembley with your hometown team, with your family, friends, and to go and win another promotion was it was the icing on the cake, and then to go and play another season after that in League One and captain the tide was fantastic for me, and like I said, it was brilliant to go back there and to experience the highs that I had previously there, and to finish my career on a high there was, you know, something I really wanted to do, and I'm delighted that I was able to do that.
Yeah, you do see that a lot, where a player starts their career at a specific club and then they always think, like, the most notable one that comes to trade at the minute is, I know he didn't end his career there, but Wayne Rooney with Everton. It's like, you start your career at one club, you achieve so much other places, but ultimately it always does come back to the beginning for you about a club you really care about that much.
Yeah, I think that my connection's always going to be there because of the years I had there as a player, and, you know, I think get linked now with a bloody manager's job every time it comes up, but you know, it's just one of them. It's a club which is close to my heart. You know, it's close to my family, and you know, friends have been season ticket holders, and so to go, like I said, just to go back and finish. I never thought, you know, you get to a stage. I didn't think I'd finally go back there. I thought, you know, that chapter's done, and for it to happen, and go back and have this success. You know, similar sort of like the Gillingham thing, really, to go back and help the club get back to League One and then help them establish themselves in League One again. For me, it was almost I've gone back and helped the club do what I wanted to do and get it back on the right footing, and brilliant, now my time's up, and thank you very much. The legs can't keep going forever.
Yeah, of course, you're now coaching, you moved on to the coaching side of your career at Millwall, and now you just mentioned it there, being linked to the Southend job. I suppose that's something that's very sort of not, well, I suppose in a sense it's risky, isn't it? Because you think in your head that you get a call to manage the team you've loved and played for your whole career. It's very easy to say, yes, I'll take it. But then at the same time, you have to make sure you're taking it at a time where it suits you and the club. You can't just go there for the sake of it being your old team and then risk it not working out. But we'll move on to that side of it in a second. I just want to obviously touch on how you're doing at Millwall at the minute. Working under Gary Rowett, as you said, doing very well in the Championship, and obviously the pandemic has sort of put a stop to the momentum you've had there. But how have you enjoyed your time at the Den so far?
Yeah, you know, it's another one where it's a really well-run football club. Some great people, very honest people there. And since I've walked through the door, the club have been outstanding with myself. Can't speak highly enough of, you know, the chairman, the board, the people that work behind the scenes. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's, you know, I've retired and I've been first team coach now for three and a bit years. And, you know, I'm learning all the time, you know, learning under a different manager now, which is great for myself. But to be involved in it, you know, I'm very thankful for the opportunity that Neil Harris brought me in and give me that opportunity to get my, you know, my next career up and running. And, you know, it's a good club, really good football club, and the club's moving forward. You know, since I've come in, I was lucky enough, when I come in, we got a promotion in my first year here. From League One, beat Bradford in the playoffs.
It's just, you know, a natural instinct, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, hopefully. I hope it's...
Everywhere you go, it happens.
Well, there's hope that can continue. But we, you know, we had a fantastic first season in the Championship, just outside the playoffs. Again, second season syndrome. It was tough last year. But, you know, we managed to stay in the division. And then, again, we've kicked on this year. And the new management team's come in and been growing with myself. So, like I said, I'm learning all the time. Gone away and done my badges, completed my pro licence last summer. So, you know, things are really good at the moment. Thoroughly enjoying it, and I'm at a really good place, and everything's going well. So, but, you know, I've been in football a long time, and I know you've got to enjoy the highs because, you know, things can turn quickly. But, you know, since I've been in the job 3 years, it's you know, everything's been positive. And, you know, like I said, I can't speak highly enough of the club.
So we're going to end today on some questions from the Jules fans on Twitter. One is an interesting one. We just sort of slightly covered there, but we'll see if we can get your actual opinion on it. So it's from Dean, who says, do you ever see yourself coming back to Jules or ending up at your hometown club, Southend? I assume that means potentially in a management or coaching role.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want to be a manager. You know, I've made no... I haven't tried to hide the fact that I wanted to be a manager when I retire, and that's the route I'm going down. Thoroughly enjoying what I'm doing at the moment. Can I see myself at either club one day? Yeah, I probably could. But you never know in football. It's hard to predict. Things happen behind the scenes at times, and you just never see that coming or that happening. But I want to be a manager one day. That's something which that's my ambition, and that's what I'm working hard towards. So can I see it happening? Yes, I could see it happening one day, but you never know in football.
Yeah, of course. Darren Chandler says, when you're at Jules, who did you room with on away days?
I was with Andy Frampton, who's my roommate, and I've roomed with Danny Kedwell a couple of times, and David Wright when he come on loan. So a few different lads, but, you know, I got on really well with Keds, Framps, and so they were the lads that I'd room with.
Lee Clifton wants to know, when you signed for Gillingham back in 2012, did you think that you would end up lifting the League Two title in front of the Gillingham supporters at Priestfield Stadium?
I come to Gillingham to win the title, and I come to Gillingham to get promotion, so that was in the back of my mind, yes.
Yeah, of course, I suppose it's easy to say in hindsight, like, yeah, we always knew we were going to do it, no problem.
I didn't know we was going to do it, but in my head I was definitely coming back to get promoted that year. We were coming to Gillingham to get promoted. So
yeah, you managed that.
Did I think it was going to happen the way it did? And then no, probably not, no.
So, one final one. This is just from the ones I've picked out. Let me just quickly find it. Yes. He said, what did you make of the impact of Cody McDonald when he joined on loan in that season? Because obviously, Cody, you went on to play of the season after as well.
Cody, he did have an impact because he's one of them players that he could nick you a goal. So, in tight games, you're always in something. And, He was another one who fitted straight into the dressing room, to the group. Really good lad. And he was a dangerous finisher. And, you know, he was one of them where you're always in games when you've got someone like that on the pitch, because he could get you a goal out of nothing or a tight game and go and win you it. So, yeah, he had a big, big impact within the group as well off the pitch.
Well, Adam, thank you for joining us. We'll give you just a quick minute just to send maybe a quick message to the Jules fans listening to this.
Well, first of all, just want to say thank you for listening, but I hope you're all safe and well, you know, abiding by the rules of the government, and hopefully we can get through this pandemic, you know, sooner rather than later. I'd like to thank you all for your support from my time at Gillingham. Your support towards myself was unbelievable. Really, you know, great support, home and away, was fantastic. You know, one of the most enjoyable periods of my career. So a big thank you to you all. Every time I come back, the reception you give me, you know, fantastic and great to see so many familiar faces. I wish you all the very best for the future. I wish you all the very best for this season. Hopefully it's a strong end to the season for yourselves, and who knows, I might see you again somewhere down the line. But take care, look after yourselves, stay safe, and hopefully I'll see you all soon.
Well, Adam, thank you very much for coming on. All the best for the rest of the season with Millwall, whenever that does eventually happen. You've been a really good guest, a very good episode. Welcome back any time, of course, and thank you for your time, and keep safe with the family, and all the best.
Lovely. Thanks, Owen. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.